Would you begin in prayer in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
O my Jesus, forgive us our sins,
save us from the fires of hell, lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy.
Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Father God, we just thank you for all the blessings that you pour out so richly upon us. We thank you for our family, for our friends. We thank you for community. We thank you for our priests. We pray for Father Bill, for a healthy and speedy recovery for him. We just give you thanks for Father Fred and Father McKay. We pray for all of our priests and all those who are considering and preparing for the priesthood. We just ask that you be with us in our time together tonight. Pour out your Spirit upon us. Help us to be instruments of your peace with one another here tonight. To be open to your word, to be open to your will. Continue to walk in your footsteps, to walk ever seeking, ever closer to you. We ask all of this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your heart.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
I heard that did they give thanks and praise when the priest said, "Let us give thanks to the Lord our God" at the masses this weekend?
Oh yeah,
it was a great experience with at the Antioch weekend.
And praise God!
Praise God! Give me an amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay. It was kind of neat on Sunday in your guys' absence. I'll fill you in, Father Fred, at the 10 o'clock mass. He asked us all to pray over him before his homily, which is pretty neat. And I've actually been doing that for many years quietly because Father Giles used to say, "Frank, pray, please pray." I mean, it's not always that easy as we think it is, but it was really neat to see him actually ask people to pray over him. And it was good. He's an exciting man. It's going to be kind of neat. So, well, thank you all for coming back. Again, this is going to be a little bit different. Was everybody here at one of the sessions? I recognize you. Were you here at one of the sessions?
Mm-hmm.
Are you the MBA student?
Yeah.
These are going to be a little bit different. They're going to be a lot different than the first three, the introductory sessions. The introductory sessions were intended he heard me talking about very thin walls in this
building. I just knew I was supposed to be here.
Anyway, the three introductory sessions were intended to whet your appetite a little bit. I hope that they did. I was absolutely thrilled with them. Just your response, eye contact. When I teach at the university, I'm hoping for one student who will give good eye contact. And when I looked out there all three nights, the eye contact was tremendous. And the response was tremendous. And I'm very grateful for that. And again, I'm grateful for you coming here tonight to carry on the journey, or actually to start the journey. Very excited about this. Don't know where it's going to go. Don't know how long it's going to go. It all depends on you and others who are interested. We'll talk about that a little bit towards the end of tonight. kind of some planning on what we want to do, what you want to do. You need a Bible, don't you? That's an old one. We have new ones. They're loaners for tonight, unless you want to make it a keeper, then it's a keeper. So bring your Bibles and bring your catechisms, because most of what we're going to be doing is coming. You going to do that one?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yep.
It's the same copy. It's the same edition.
It is. It's the St. Joseph's. It
is. Hardcover.
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 Okay. Again, most of what we're going to be doing is focusing on Scripture and on catechism and some teachings of the Catholic Church, the documents of Vatican II, rather, occasionally. Today I'm also going to be bringing in something from a wonderful document that I've read recently. I actually read it a while ago, and I've refreshed myself on it recently. It's just a marvelous document. It's called Our Hearts Were Burning Within Us. And it's all about the adult faith formation in the United States. Unfortunately, it came out in 1999, which is a long time ago, and we're still getting started on it. It's a marvelous document. If any of you are interested in that, I really encourage you to get on to USCCB.org, and all of the bishops, the pastoral letters from the bishops are on there. There's some beautiful documents there. I encourage you to read them. I don't know, some people really like to read novels and, you know, whatever, and I like to read Catholic teaching. Get a life.
No.
Anyway, tonight we're going to talk about a faith journey. And again, what we're going to do at these sessions, there's going to be a little bit of teaching at the beginning, okay, to open the discussion. More questions. If you have questions anywhere along the line, raise your hand, okay? But then the big thing that we're going to do is we're going to break into small groups. And I like round tables a little bit better, but small tables will work here. And there's some questions on the back that can initiate some discussion. But the key to this is sharing your faith. The neat thing about this, as opposed to an RCIA class where, you know, some people are really looking for an answer. They don't have a clue. They want to know, what does this mean? We need to give them a little bit of an answer there. Whereas with all of us being Catholic, okay, Mary, you can get the answer just as easily as I can get the answer. Okay, and I'll help you walk through that answer. We'll open up the catechism, we'll open up Scripture, and we'll find the answer together. But we're all capable of taking that step. And that's why I think it is very important for one catechism per household, one Bible per toothbrush. I'm still going to stick with that one. Okay. Anyway, today's topic is the faith journey. And as we move forward, we're probably going to be hopefully using a series by Mark Link called A New Catholic Vision. And again, it's a document, a series that I used in RCIA for many years out at St. Luke's. They used it for many years here. We just have to decide how we're going to pay for them and get them in here and move forward.
I swear by Mark Link, even though he's a Jesuit.
Even though he's a Jesuit, that's a powerful statement coming from a Benedictine.
I took a course with him one summer at the Clergy Institute in St. Paul. I don't know if he's still alive.
He is still alive. He's retired.
Yeah.
But he's still alive.
He's alive. Yeah, he's great. He's a good man. I use his materials all the time.
Yeah, he's good.
Stuff. He's a great storyteller.
He's a great storyteller.
And all of my homily, the way I preach from him.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes. Wow. It was a preaching course. And he stressed the importance of the story, getting an illustration or story to kind of.
Well, the thing that I liked about his RCIA material in particular is the fact that no matter where you are on your faith journey, whether you're pretty high up there and you've been studying for a long time, he has something in there for you. And if you're a novice and you're just starting to take this journey, he has something for you there too. I used it year after year, and I was amazed because every year I've learned something new. And even this year, doing those introductory sessions, you know, I went back to his information, And I came up with something new, and it's like, how did I miss that the first 10 times? But there's a depth to what he does.
It's a binder, it's not a book, right?
Yeah, it's a loose leaf binder. I have one here.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I'll show you that at the end of the class.
When I was at Penn State, we used it for RCIA.
RCIA?
Yeah.
Anyway, Mark Link talks about the faith journey, and he says that the faith journey takes place in three primary stages. Okay, childhood, adolescence, and adult stage. And, you know, we don't think of ourselves as child. None of us here are children. Okay, but what he's talking about there is faith by birth, or our culture. Okay, and then the other side, the adult stage, is this faith by choice. And that's conviction and conversion. You heard me talk about in the introductory sessions, you heard me talk about conversion, which is something that we don't usually talk about in the Catholic Church. It sounds like such a Protestant thing. It's not a Catholic thing. And yet, there's this beautiful, beautiful teaching in the Catechism that's called the conversion of the baptized. And I referenced it there. If you want to look at it again. But what it talks about...
Can I have your copy of that sheet?
Yeah.
Thanks, Frank. Sorry to interrupt.
That's okay. The conversion of the baptized says that our first and foremost conversion was our baptism, okay? But that it's an ongoing process. That was not the end. It's an ongoing process. And Christ constantly calls us to conversion, to this turning back, okay? And as an adult, we're supposed to have this second conversion, and maybe a third, and maybe a fourth, and maybe a fifth. And I told the story at the introductory sessions that my wife, who went through a second conversion, a very powerful one, prayed for me for years to be converted. And I told her, as a good stubborn Catholic for all those years, no, I was baptized once when I was an infant, that's all it takes. And then, somewhere along the line, I read this and I was like, wow, this is supposed to happen. And it is. So that's the adult stage, okay, differing from the childhood stage. In the middle is this thing that he calls adolescence, but it's this faith in transition. And the fact of the matter is, this adult stage can happen at any time in our life, okay? Some people, it is at a very young age, and some people it's at a later stage. I would have to say that my... conversion and conviction, my faith by choice, really and truly didn't happen until I was 40 years old. And it was a very powerful thing for me. Some people, it's a much more gradual thing, and it's there all along. Some people have very powerful experiences, some people don't. Again, everyone is unique. And so everyone's faith journey is going to be a little bit different. No two journeys are going to be alike, because no two people are alike. I remember the second tech that I ever went to, the things that you learn from 16 and 17-year-old kids is just amazing. There was a young girl, she was a senior in high school, and she was talking about, the kids always get to start talking about heaven and hell and who's going where and all this kind of stuff. And she said that she has a vision that's like a big mountain. And everyone starts this journey on the mountain down at the bottom of the hill at a different spot. And you start walking up the mountain and you walk around this tree and around this tree, and someone else might walk the other way around that tree and the other way around that tree. And everybody has a different journey up that mountaintop. And for a while, we walk on the same path, and then we branch off and we walk on another. You can picture this mountain with all these trees on it. And she says, there's millions and millions of trees as you're walking up this mountain. And when you finally get up to the very top of the mountain, it's only then that you can observe that there's three other sides to this mountain that you didn't even see as you were walking up there. And so our faith journey is unique, okay? I mean, that struck home with me. This is the 16-year-old girl teaching me that, and everyone else who was there, that our journey really is unique to us, okay? We're going on a faith journey. We shared the last 3 weeks together. With many of you, and I that was a fantastic part of my faith journey. It was like, God has led me on this path, that brought me to those three Monday nights. And those three Monday nights were magnificent. And if I never saw you guys again, for, you know, I'm glad that you're here and all, but if God just put us for those three nights to be together on our faith journey, it was good, okay? Some of us will walk together for a little bit longer, and that's good, okay? There's a couple passages I would like to read about this childhood to adult stage. This was actually in, how many of you people read the Word Among Us? The morning Word Among Us or daily Word Among Us? This month's issue talks about this second reading that we're going to do from Hebrews. But it's all about this growth from childhood to adult. And a couple of pretty good reads here. One's very short, 1 Corinthians, and the second one a little bit longer, but still fairly short. Who would like to proclaim for us?
I'm right there, Frank. I'm
Bob's
right
never
there.
Done this before. He's new to this. This is a big step for Bob.
This is a good one for me. Yeah. This scripture is good for me.
This is 1 Corinthians?
Yeah. When I was a child, I used to talk as a child, think as a child, reason as a child. When I became a man, I put aside such childish things.
And the second one is Hebrews, and we'll get back to talk about both of these. But who would like to read the Hebrews reading? Go ahead, Mary.
Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. About this we have much to say, and it is difficult to explain, for you have become deaf. Although by this time you should be teaching others, you need to have someone teach you again the basic elements of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. Everyone whose food is milk alone is ignorant of the word that sanctifies, for he is a child. Solid food is for the mature, for those whose faculties are trained by practice to distinguish good from evil.
Both of those passages, and there's nothing bad about being a child. There's nothing wrong with the faith of a child. In fact, Jesus talks about, you know, the beauty of the faith of a child, the innocence of the faith of a child, and that it's a true and strong faith, and we need to have faith like that of a child. Okay? And at the same time, you know, Paul talks about when I was a child, I acted like a child, and then I grew up and I put away those childish ways. The Hebrews passage may have been Paul, may not have been Paul. Okay? But it talks about milk, okay? And there are times in our lives when we need milk. We need what is easy to digest. And then there are other times when we need some stronger nourishment. And I think this is, and this is what our hearts, or the Word Among Us talked about, one of the articles in there talked about, it's not like we're going to grow up and therefore we never need milk anymore. We're just going to eat meat. Because we're living and we're human, our faith is going to go through these time periods where sometimes, you know, we're eating a steak, okay? And there are other times when we need to go back and start drinking milk again. It's a growth thing. We're human, okay? That's one of the first things about this. You know, we're trying to become adults, you know, get to this adult stage, and our hearts were burning and talked about, you know, what does a mature adult faith look like? And I talked about this, I think, on the first night. I just wanted to put it out there again so we could discuss it, though. And the first thing is a living faith is a gift from God, okay, and it's an authentic human response. And that's why, you know, it's not perfect, not because of the God part, okay? The gift from God is a perfect gift. But he's giving it to us who are human, and we stumble with it. And sometimes, you know, we go through periods of darkness, faith darkness, okay? And it's very important to recognize when we do go through that, that's part of being alive, okay? That, you know, why am I losing my faith right now? It's human, okay? Does God want us to continue to strive towards that adult faith? Absolutely. Anyway, does anybody, those two passages and this concept of a living faith, alive, does anybody have any thoughts on that? Or you've heard those readings before? Is anybody in a milk stage right now? Nobody ever fesses up to that.
I thought while you were talking about the milk and you're like going backwards and for some reason, I thought we have milk and cookies over there. And milk and cookies elicit such a comfortable feeling. So it's like sometimes you just need to go back to that initial comfort feeling with the Lord, comfortable in the Word. And something that's familiar and sweet.
As we go on our part of our faith journey, wherever it takes you, I'm on a similar journey. That just made me think about it. I'm taking a class right now, and the first class was awesome. I mean, it was tremendous. It was reading this document, our hearts were burning, and it was just tremendous. And then we got into all this detail for the second class, and the third class, and the fourth class. So we get more and more detail, and further and further away from that original document. You may have experienced this. You're studying your higher education. And I think it's really important, what you pointed out, Alison, that we do need to get back to the basics from time to time. Don't lose sight of that. When you start to find yourself kind of straying a little bit, maybe you need to get back to the milk and cookies, whatever it is that's comfortable.
I'm told that we're having twins. My wife is having a twin. So late February, early March.
Congratulations.
So I don't envisage staying anytime soon.
All right.
I find for myself, I have felt very challenged by God. And I talked a little bit about that in the life of the Spirit, and the words that I heard him say is, grow up, and very directly. And I know that I was probably clinging to more of a, I was fearful to take that next step spiritually to a more adult faith, or from where I was, and I felt a real challenge by the Holy Spirit, and it came very clearly to me in something I read, and it was very much from these scriptures, and the words I heard were, Mary, grow up. And so,
sometimes the transition is very sudden. If he wants you here, and you're dangling over here too long, he can just again, I think it's just important to be open to be seeking God, first of all, is absolutely critical. And then to be open to where he's taking you. And you know, for far too many Catholics, you know, we get to confirmation, okay, and that's the end, right? We've met all the criteria there is. We have to go through marriage prep to get married, but you know, for the most part, we've gone through all the education that we need. And as you all know, the Christian faith, the Catholic faith is too complex to be understood by a 12-year-old. Okay? And if the last time we really focused on our faith was when we were 12 years old, we're missing it. Not capturing all the depth, all the beauty, and the gift that we have in our faith. That's what hopefully what we're doing, what I hope to do with this, is allowing people to do is just, hey, reopen what you learned many, many years ago. You'll find that, hey, it was good. It was just probably presented in a very adolescent way, because you were adolescent. Yeah. So,
good question.
Okay. On this, what does a mature adult faith look like? And again, I've kidded about this so many times, but I'll do it just one more time. Bob, could you just stand up? And everyone can see what a Catholic, a mature dog fan. Every time I read this, I just say, it's Bob. And he falls for it every time. It's so good. You really didn't have a clue what I was doing there, did you? Anyway, it says a living, explicit, and fruitful confession of faith. That's what a mature adult faith looks like. It's a gift from God, an authentic human response. It changes as we change because it has that authentic human response. But one of the things is it's seeking understanding. Okay, not that we're ever going to understand God. Okay, we want to continually seek and get closer to a mystery, something that we can't possibly understand and comprehend. But we do want to, we have this, it's in us to naturally seek an understanding. One of the things that it talks about that, you know, if I was making up my own class, I would just skip this sentence because I don't like it. But I'm not going to do that to you. Okay, I'm going to present to you what's there. Okay, but it says, keenly conscious and aware of the power and hold of sin. No, we hate to talk about sin, so let's just not talk about it, right? Well, it doesn't make it go away. Okay, and I think an adult, a mature adult faith is going to acknowledge that, hey, there's evil out there, okay, and I'm prone to it. And I can't just slough it off and say I don't have to be on guard, okay, because I do. Uh-oh, he's found a way. No, go ahead.
This issue about coming to a keen awareness of the power that holds sin, I'll just share from my own life. I've been a priest for 28 years, and this past summer, I began my sabbatical in the beginning of August, and I went on a pilgrimage to Fatima. And I also had planned this trip to go to hike with a group of men in the wilderness at the end of August in the Rockies. And this, I'm going to have the founder of the program, his name is John Bradford, come and speak to the men in the parish sometime and see if we get something started like this also. But it was this, two things. In order to go to get ready for Fatima, I had decided that I would do the Mumford consecration of the Blessed Virgin Mary. It's the consecration to Jesus Christ through the Blessed Virgin Mary, total consecration. And I had encouraged my college students for years to do this, and I had attempted it a couple times. It's a 40-day series of prayers that you say, and then at the end you make this long prayer of dedication to Jesus through Mary. Well, I was really convicted when my young brothers in the monastery prayed over me as I was coming to this point of making this sabbatical. And they prayed over me, and it was in my office in the monastery, my vocation office. And the next thing you know, I'm down on the floor, just wiped out. And when the young monks were praying for them, praying for me. And when I finally got up from that beautiful kind of mystical experience of resting in the Lord, I knew I had to make that dedication to Mary. And I said, I even said to the guys, I've asked you guys to do this prayer before, and I've never done it myself. I'm a hypocrite. I'm going to do it. And so I started 30-some days before I left for Fatima, like July the 3rd, I started making prayers so that when I got to Fatima, you try to make your dedication on the feast of Mary. So I figured out how while I was in Fatima, we would do the feast of Our Lady of the Snows, or another name of it, the dedication of Our Lady, the Basilica of Mary Major. Close the door to show me, so she's free. You're okay, she's sorry. Anyway, my story's getting too long. So that was part of the sabbatical that brought me to where I'm at. Then the second part was this hiking trip. Well, the 10 men that went on the trip were asked to read two books, the Screwtape Letters, which is all about the devil, the apprentice devil being trained by the expert devil, and it's by C.S. Lewis. And the other book was called, get this right, Spiritual Combat Revisited. And it's a recent book written by a priest from, he's an oratory father from Canada. And he takes this medieval text called Spiritual Combat, Renaissance text, I guess, whatever, it's 1500s, whatever that is. And this book called Spiritual Combat, and he takes that apart. Well, anyway, in the first chapter, or first or second chapter, he deals with this issue about sin. And he says, and this just blew my mind, because here I am a priest, 28 years, and it just hadn't sunk into me. Most of us have this, it was in this discussion of hatred of self, and I was thinking, this is, I'm not into the hatred of myself. I mean, I grew up in like the culture where you affirm each other, you're even positive, you're a child of God, bloom where you're planted. Hatred of self, I think I'm going to read this chapter. So it was hatred of self, and he said, we have this image of ourselves that we're good people, that we're good. All the good that we do, it's me. And the evil, it's the devil. Like, the sin and all of the bad things we've done in our lives, that's not really me. That's the devil, it's temptation, but the real me is good. And this author says, no, it's the complete opposite. The church has always taught that all the good that we do in our lives is the grace of God. All the saints have always attributed everything they do that's good to God. God is doing that in me. That's God's work in me. And we have to claim for ourselves all the bad things we've done. Guess what? It's your decision to sin. It's your work. It's not God's work. It's not the devil's work. It's your work. And I was like, whoa. All right. I've always thought Fred was a good little boy. He's done some sins, but he's a good little boy. And this is saying, no. All those bad things you've done, all that sin, that's you. That's the real you. Well, that was a Copernican current for me in my life this past summer. And it's taken me a long time to come to that. And it's been powerful.
I've never thought about it that way, but I know that I've always talked with people about conversion, and conversion starts with a turning back towards God. But you only have to turn back to God if you first turned away from God. And we all make that conscious decision at some point in time. And that's what I hear you saying, is that God didn't make us turn away. We chose to do that.
Right. Realization that I have to hate that self
that turns away,
that I think is the good person. I mean, most of us have this image of ourselves as, I'm a good person. You know, you get that all the time in confessions. Like, Father, I haven't committed any sins. I'm a good person. I'm a nice person. And that's basically how I feel about myself. And that's the self that the author, and this ancient author, I think his name was Father Scarpoli or something like that. We have to come to an understanding. We have to hate ourself, that self, that,
well, even
that we think is so good.
Even when that man approached Jesus and said, good rabbi, good teacher, he said, God is good, except from God. That was Jesus speaking those words. All in all,
well, we've heard all that stuff in the gospel, and I've heard it for 28 years of my priesthood, but it's I've begun to, like, something happened deep inside. I don't know how to say it other than I realized that the good little father said, I'm a good little boy. You know, you have that image of growing up. I went to church, I was holy, I did these things, and then I went to college, and then there was a few, many liberalities. But I'm still a good person.
You can be a priest, yeah.
And even as a priest. So, it just, this idea, a keen consciousness of the awareness of the power and the hold of sin. And I went to confession right before I came here. I went to a priest Ingrid that I was in class with. And then when I got finished with the confession, he said, would you hear my confession? And we both recognized that no matter how much holy oils have been on your hands in ordination, sexual sins are always right at the door.
Is sin inevitable?
What's that?
Is it inevitable?
Is sin inevitable? Well, I think it wasn't inevitable for Mary. That's about it. I think she's the only one that wasn't inevitable for.
So for everything.
Yes. Yes. So anyway, I don't know if that makes any sense, but that you know, this awareness of the power of sin, keen consciousness of it. And I am a sinner. All the good that's in me, all the good that comes through me, that's your work. It's not me, it's your work.
Sorry. And I think it's important to keep that balance, or else a person could go off the deep end and just be so focused on how bad they are. But what we're called to do is then to focus on the mercy of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. And I think that's the call.
And what we're capable of doing with Christ.
Yes, the realization of knowing what we're capable of doing without Him, which is a horrific realization.
What God is capable of doing through us,
right?
Not what we're doing, what God is capable of doing
through us.
We need to avoid over
scrupulosity?
Yes, thank you. But we need to avoid that. That's the something that seems to take a lot of people is, oh, I did this, so. You just keep going and keep beating yourself up without ever recognizing God's love.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Last part about a living faith is a living faith longs for the fulfillment of eternal life. And, you know, we have to live in that hope. That hope is what gets us through whatever it is that we have to get through. Even when things are going well in our lives, and you know, I hope things are going well in everyone's life, but that needs to be our goal.
I'm liking it here.
We've made it through 3 days. I'm still messing here.
It's been a 3-day honeymoon so far. Every time I go in my room and I see my prayer corner, there's the letter that from the bishop that got me out of the diocese in Greensburg, and I go, okay, boy, that's. Thank you, Lord, for that letter.
Explicit faith. This is probably, I'm still spinning from this section, but this is Catholic. I love it. Explicit faith is rooted in a personal relationship with Jesus, lived in the Christian community. Okay, and there's no comma in there. That's, you know, when I first read that, you know, immediately you think of the Protestant churches. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? Yes, I do. End of conversation. But this one goes on and says, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus lived in a Christian community? Okay, that this is not something for us to just have by ourselves. Okay, this is something that we are in community. Christ was always in community. And again, I think on the first night I talked about reading John 17. The Lord's Prayer, the prayer that Jesus prayed when he was in the garden. It's just a beautiful, beautiful prayer. It talks about oneness. And you know, count the number of times Jesus uses the word one in there. It's all about community. And then this next one, radically Trinitarian. Okay, what does that mean, radically Trinitarian? Okay. Search that out. Is your focus just on God the Father or just on Jesus? Are we leaving out the Holy Spirit? Well, this is saying we need to be radically Trinitarian. Not all Holy Spirit, not all Jesus, not all God the Father, but radically Trinitarian. Coming to grips with that Trinitarian Christ, or Trinitarian God. That in itself is a challenge. Okay, that's why this becoming a mature adult in faith, this is not an overnight thing that all of a sudden we're just going to check things off. Okay, everything's taken care of. I made it. Okay, because we're constantly seeking. Any one of these can be and should be a pursuit. Connected to the life, teaching, and mission of the church, okay? And we spoke about, on the third night, we spoke, or second night, we spoke about the apostolate of the laity, okay? And again, this was the new thing that I learned preparing for this, that there is a vocation to the...
Secular,
thank you.
I got it.
Vocation,
I learned something.
Vocation to be secular. Like, wait a minute, what are you talking about? That's, there's spiritual, and there's the non-spiritual, the secular, and we have a vocation to the secular. That's just such a bizarre concept. But that's our apostolate. That we share in this mission. Father has a mission to be an ordained priest, and that's his call. And our call is to carry that apostolic mission into the world. That's a powerful thing to know that you have purpose. I'm not just sitting in the pews putting money in the basket. Okay, I have a job to do. We all have a job to do. And then confident. And what does confident mean? It means humbly joyful. For years, I talked about, I used to go up and shout with the evangelicals up there. We'd stand on the street corner and holler at each other that I was better than you and picking on my kids. And then I realized, man, this is not humble. Okay, this is not a good thing. So I've stopped doing that. I feel much better about it. And finally, a fruitful faith. Adult disciples enjoy the fruits of the Holy Spirit. One of my many second favorite passages in the Bible, Galatians 5, 22-23. This is where I want to be. Anytime I need a measuring stick to figure out whether I'm, you know, whether I'm headed in the right direction, I go to 5, and I actually start at about 16, where it lists off 14 or so things of the flesh, okay, licentiousness, and idolatry, and all this kind of stuff. And I look at those, and then I compare them to the fruits of the Spirit, and I know, okay, Frank, you need to change course, okay, because you're not quite over here. A fruitful faith also, the adult faith bears the fruits of justice and compassion. Okay, we are a doing, we are a justice-oriented, doing faith. Okay, we live with compassion. These are the corporal works of mercy. Okay, we are compassionate. An adult faith will bear those fruits, will live out a life of justice and compassion. And finally, and bear out the fruit of evangelization. The mission of Jesus was to spread the good news of the kingdom, give the glory to God, and share the good news of the kingdom of God. He passed that on to the apostles, who passed that on to the church. Okay, and we are the church, and we are called to be an evangelical church. We need to start from within, because I think there's a lot of evangelization that needs to be done in the Catholic Church. But then we're called to carry that out, okay? Wherever we go, wherever we live, wherever we work, to our families, to our co-workers. Sometimes we even have to use words, okay? It's the St. Francis approach. Questions, comments?
If you ask a Franciscan, there's no word in any Francis writings where he says
that. Where he says that?
Yes.
It just gave me credit. It's such a good thing.
Come on.
We should all take a look at the Pope's recent motu proprio, the letter he sent out about the establishment of the new pontifical council called the Council for the New Evangelization. So it's all about that last point about bearing fruit. And it just released it last week. You get it up on the Vatican site.
I think you've heard a lot about a purpose-filled life, you know, and it's a wonderful book and it's a wonderful concept. It's not new though, okay? It was a new approach, but the Catholic Church has been talking about a purpose-driven life for many, many, many years, because we all do have a purpose. It's not an end. Okay, it's a beginning. When we start to live in this mature adult faith, that's when we begin to show this fruitfulness. And it's a beginning, it's not an end. Andrew, were you going to add something? Or you looked like you were going to.
I'm so vain. I wanted to add something to the back and rooted in a personal relationship with Jesus, the Christian community. you spoke on the proprio. Pope Benedict just wrote a letter to seminarians, and it speaks so well to not only, you know, community of disciples, it's not, you know, trying to become a priest isn't your own just by yourself. Just like trying to become a fully Christian person is not by ourselves. And it even speaks to, you know, the most important path, the most important thing in our path towards priesthood, where we can substitute in, you know, the Christian life. And during the whole of our priestly lives is our personal relationship with God and Jesus Christ. And this is four sentences after it talks about community of disciples. You know, it's just how important it is that you not only just think of your own relationship, but help to develop everyone else's.
Again, in everything that I've read in the Our Hearts Were Burning, that is the primary goal of adult faith formation. My goal here with this group is not to turn everyone into deep theological people who can read Karl Rahner and not get a headache. Okay?
That's relief.
Yeah. You know, it's to have that relationship, okay, to get you on a path where you can have that relationship. I can't do that for you. I don't have the power to do that for you. Nobody has the power to do that for you, except you. And you do have that power. Okay? But that's what it's all about. And then as you develop that personal relationship, the fruits come from that. And I think the Catholic Church in their teaching, they acknowledge that, okay, we can teach people to do this and do this and do this, but if it's not starting from a personal relationship with Christ, it's not authentic, okay? It's something good, but it's not authentic. And I think we have a lot of that in the Catholic Church. We have a lot of people in the Catholic Church who are marvelous, marvelous people, and we've been trained, and I put myself in this category, we've been trained to do a lot of really good things, okay? By the nuns, if you were old enough to have the good favor of having nuns, you know, they taught us one way or another, okay, some really good things. But it didn't always start with this focus on a personal relationship. There were good things, but there was something missing. And again, I fought it for many years with my wife about having this personal relationship with God. I'm fine where I am. You know, I go to church, I pray with the kids every morning. But it was all, a lot of it, was really going through some very important motions and some good motions, but there was still something missing. Okay? And people have asked me to explain what that feels like to have that personal relationship with God. I can't explain it. Okay? I haven't been able to explain it yet. But it's something that's different. It's something much more. And anyway. What I'd like to do now, I mean, unless, if anybody has any questions, comments, things they'd like to talk about, or what I'd like to do is we're going to break into some small groups, you know, tables. We'll get together five or six people at a table. And there's a couple things on the back here. We don't have to talk about all of them, but the key is I would just like to encourage you to speak openly about your faith and to share your faith. This is not something that I expect people to just all of a sudden, okay, Frank said we're supposed to share our faith, so everyone's going to share. Okay, it doesn't work that way. Maybe tonight you just get to know each other a little bit better if you don't know people at your table. If you're comfortable sharing, then you share. If you're not comfortable sharing, you have to share anyway.
Yeah.
No, you just have a cup of coffee and a cookie and listen. Okay. And you are welcome to have coffee and cookie and water and everything, whatever you want. Okay? So if we could just break into groups.